I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to ask them to come and share their testimony. Some will be short, some will be more lengthy. But when they're all done, I want to open it up for any of you who would like to just make a declaration here this morning. Maybe you're already a believer, but you want to make a declaration. He is my King. Or maybe you want to give testimony to what God has done in your life this last week. But this is an opportunity for you to say again, He is my King. He has my life. I give it to Him. And I remember all the things that He's done for me. I remember those days when I was discouraged and He encouraged me. I remember being lost, a lost person, and experiencing new life through what Jesus did on the cross for me. So after they're done sharing, I want to open it up just briefly if there's someone among you that would like to share as well. So I want to invite the five to come up and just stand up here on the stage. And don't worry, it's going to be fine. Maybe we'll have from youngest to oldest, Janelle. If you want to be first, and then Drew, and then Jennifer, and then Jeremy and Mandy. You can just line up here beside me. And I just want to encourage you all, as you share, that we stand with you. We stand with you. We affirm your willingness to declare Jesus as Lord of your life. And we stand with you today as you share. And so each of you can just step up to the mic here and share what God has laid on your heart, and then the next person can go.
One time as a preschooler, I was having bedtime devotions with my mom, and I asked her, how do I follow Christ? She came up with a prayer, and we said it together. It went like this. Dear God, I'm sorry for all my badness. Thank you for dying on the cross for all the bad things I did. I want to love and obey you. Amen. After that, I learned to read my Bible every day and continue to grow in Christ. He has spoken to me different times. For instance, a few years ago, we had a wasp problem in our shed, and as I was entering to get something, I noticed a wasp just a few inches away from me. I prayed I wouldn't get stung. After I prayed, the wasp flew away until I couldn't see it anymore. I didn't see the wasp for a few weeks. One of my favorite verses is Romans 6:4. By being baptized, we were buried with Christ. Into his death, Christ is raised from the dead by the Father's glory. And like Christ, we can also live a new life. To me, that means we don't let sin be our master, but to allow Christ to be our master.
All right, let's encourage you. Thanks, Janelle.
I've been a believer for all my life, since I can remember, and I want to make this baptism so I can be a leader for my friends and family and to show them Christ Jesus. He's my Savior, and I want them to believe too. I want everyone I know to be saved, and just because you're not baptized, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be saved. You just have to confess and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So being baptized, I want to lead people and I want to show people, let's all lead each other to Christ Jesus.
I grew up in a Christian home and I grew up going to a camp during the summer, and we'd go every year ever since I can remember. And so that's where I became a Christian, because it was a huge impact in my life. And I think I was around 11 or so. I know I was in the children's program, and one of my best friend's grandmas helped a lot with that. And I decided to become baptized now because it's not something that either of the churches I attended growing up did. It's not that they didn't believe it, it's just they didn't do it. So I just decided that now is a good time in my life to just recommit and be baptized. Ours is obviously the lengthy one, so we're going to do this together.
Okay, I get to start. First of all, leading up to the last year, so we were, you know, things were going pretty well with us. We bought a house. Bought a car, pretty happy. And then we had loss of a job and kind of put us in a tough situation. So we got unemployment for a while to supplement my income. And we were okay for a while. And then I decided I wanted to take classes to further my education. And as Manny decided, she wanted to do. And things went well for a couple quarters. And then we took full-time classes, which was a little bit too much for me. I worked 50 hours a week. And once I had to start going to take classes and not just online, it became a little overwhelming for me, and I couldn't keep up with it all. And instead of asking for help from her or anybody else to, you know, some of the things that were a burden to me, I decided to just let it get bottled up. And it created a little bit of resentment on me losing, you know, something I really wanted to do. But I ended up quitting school. So
I continued to take classes for about a year and a half after that. During that time, I was coming home from class, and I had completely went over to the other lane just while I was blinking. And it turned out that it was actually something more serious. I was diagnosed with a condition, had to have emergency surgery, and it was a lengthy recovery as well. This put us in a little bit of a bind financially. I wasn't able to work. I couldn't go to school anymore. And I'm sure, you know, that added to his stress on top of everything else as well.
During her illness, she was pretty limited on what she was able to do. She had lost her sight. So it put a lot of work trying to go to work every day and then come home and have to take care of a lot of things around the house, take care of the kids more than I was had to in the past. And you know, once again, I just let it get bottled up inside, and it stress about money and different things like that. I just let it get bottled up. And then we got in an argument one night over the kids, and I was already at a place where I really didn't want to be at home anymore. And so I decided to I'd planned to go spend the weekend at my parents' house just to get away and kind of think about things and where life was taking us. About that time, I got a past flame contacted me from when I was in just out of high school that I was engaged to. And when I was supposed to go to my parents, I got some advice that I didn't really like, and it kind of drove me away from going there. And I ended up going in to this other person's house, and we ended up spending a lot of time together. I'd come home when I had for the kids, but I wasn't, I wasn't home all the time, so. One of the things that I justified how I was feeling and what I was doing was that it seemed to me that there was a reason that this person had come back into my life when I was in a situation where I didn't want to be and I was unhappy. And I thought that, you know, it was something that God wanted for me. And, you know, that was from not, at the time, we weren't going to church or anything, so I didn't really read a lot in the Bible and stuff, and so it's from not really knowing God and not knowing what that wouldn't be what he'd want from me. He wanted me to fight for my marriage, and so.
After a couple of months after he decided to leave, I actually reconnected with someone that I had known from middle school. We had just talked a lot and everything, and you know, he had really helped me through a lot of things, and I actually decided to fly out for a visit. He lived in Seattle, Washington. And at that point when I had decided that, we had also decided that we were going to try to do the long distance relationship thing, and before I flew out, Jeremy and I drew up divorce papers and had everything signed. While I was in Washington, we got into a huge fight over the phone. It was just over. My mom had boarded up the house, but it was, I had had trouble with people messing around the house at the time, so she had made it so that it was pretty much impossible for anybody to get into the house at the time while I was gone. And he took that as she was trying to make sure that he wasn't getting into the house. So it was a huge, huge blowout over the phone. And when I got home, I was ready to have it out. But when I got there, I wasn't mad anymore. So we just sat down and we talked, and we really just got everything out in the open. Everything that had been building up over the last 3 months. And there was no screaming, no fighting. It was just gentle talking and getting each other to understand what we were feeling.
Like she said, we had a big fight, and I stopped off at the house to pick something up, and then realized the door was locked and boarded up and from the inside. And I didn't understand what was going on. At that point, I really just wanted to leave completely. I wanted to find a place to go where I could take the kids. It's kind of ironic that the person that I had been talking to told me that that was a mistake, and I just needed to actually stay and be there all the time. That way I couldn't be used against me and custody of our son. And so when she came back, we talked about what was best for us, how we were going to get through this situation, how we were going to make it as livable as possible, I guess. And we started, so like she said, we started to talk and communicate better. And we actually started to talk about, we had conversations about our relationships with the other person and how they were putting a wall up and kind of pushing us away, and it pushed us back together. And then for Thanksgiving, we decided things were started going better, and I asked my mom if she cared if I invited Mandy over for Thanksgiving, and her grandparents invited me over with her family. And that was really a big turning point for us, because her family showed me, they showed me love after everything I'd put her through. It was hard for me to understand how they could feel the way they did. I remember sitting at the dinner table at Thanksgiving, and her grandfather saying a prayer before dinner, and he prayed that, you know, that God would somehow work in our hearts so that we would, you know, work things out. And I still think about that a lot. The following Sunday was our first Sunday here at LCF. And all the emotions of Thanksgiving and coming to church and stuff started to work on our hearts, mine especially. We tried to work things out at first, but it was hard for me to put the other relationship in the past and move on, so it wasn't really a wholehearted effort on my part. So we just kind of pretended for the kids to try to get through Christmas and, you know, the holiday season, to make things the best that we could for them.
During this time, After our initial visit here, I mean, just walking in the door, the feeling that we got from here, it was like we belonged, like we were family. Like instantly we felt the love of the church here. And we continued to come every Sunday. I think we missed maybe two. But I had also started looking into going to a small group, just to study during the weekend or the weekday. It was something that I knew that I was going to need because I knew what was coming. I knew I was going to need support. And I tested him a little bit during this time because I started noticing little changes the more that we started coming to church, just little changes in him. But one of my tests was I told him that I was going to go to a small group for me. And if he wanted to come, he was more than welcome to come. And if he didn't, that was okay too, but I was going no matter what. Surprisingly enough, he actually said that he wanted to go, so I was pretty excited about that. Test passed. and we started going to Thursday night groups at Rob and Doris's house.
One of the reasons that she was surprised, I'm sure, that I decided to come to the small group was because it was a Thursday night, and Thursdays is a day that I'm required to work till 8 at work in my job, and I'd always put my job before anything else, really. So at that point, that's when I first decided that I was going to make my job second and put other things first. So I rearranged my job. Small group was it's kind of hard at first because the first book that we read was Ruth, and it's a basically, you know, a love story. But so it was kind of uncomfortable, and I knew it was hard for her because, you know, she was having to me not know what was I was doing and stuff. But when we first started reading 1 Peter, and we talked about rejoicing in our trials and tribulations and when we suffer, it's when I really started to really want to know more and learn more about what it meant to be a Christian. I've always believed, but I never really knew what that meant. I was baptized 16 years ago, I think. But it was one of those, you just come up and get baptized. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so now I understand what I'm doing. So
obviously, we're in a really good spot. It was amazing to really look back and see the Lord working on both of our hearts and our lives at the same time and really drawing us together in a way that neither one of us could have done on our own. He had completely checked out, 100%. There was no fight in him left. And just the Lord really working in our heart healed us like nothing ever could, and we are stronger and better in many ways.
I forgot to mention, one of the things that we did after small group was the Art of Marriage seminar. And the seminar that we came to here in March really changed my perspective on what it meant to be a husband. There was a lot of things that I had to do when she was ill, and I was really selfish, and I learned that my role as a husband is the role of Jesus with the church, and I want to read this real quick. So this really spoke to me when we were in the husband is called to be the head of his wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Headship means that the man sacrifices himself, his needs, desires, dreams, for the sake of his family. Headship also means that the man has the burden of taking the initiative to move things forward on behalf of his family. all the things that I was resentful, a lot of things I was resentful for, I should have taken joy in having God bless me with a wife. And instead of looking at as a burden the things I had to do, I should have felt blessed. And this seminar really humbled me and really showed me what that meant. So
my baptism for me is I'm ready to show my devotion for the Lord, ready to really give my life over to Him. I haven't really done that in the past, and He's still done wonderful things for me, no matter what I've done. And I'm ready for a new beginning, a new life in His light.
Thanks so much for sharing. It's amazing to see God's hand at work in our lives. And there's probably someone out there who's wondering this morning, can He do the same in my life? And He can. Whatever your situation is, He can change it if you give your life to Him. Anybody else? I'm just going to leave. I know we're running a little, but it's okay. Would anybody like to share their own testimony this morning of what God has done? You'd like to give glory to Him. That's how the passage ends that we looked at this morning. All the honor and glory goes to Him. So, can we get a mic over here?
It was really encouraging hearing the 5 testimonies this morning. The thought that went through my mind is God's not dead. I just saw that movie last week. I actually saw two movies in 1 week, which is like astounding for me because I don't usually see that many in a week. But anyways, to contrast the two movies, the first movie I saw was about people who had cancer, were dying, knew they were dying. And they didn't have the hope. It was contrasted with the movie God's Not Dead and the hope that people had. And it's just saying God's not dead. And you can see that this morning.
Hi. Sorry, that was a little loud. I have kind of a deep voice. I'm kind of a guest here. My name's Richie. After listening to everybody say their thing, I just kept thinking about how God always blesses obedience. And I know that it took a lot of courage for you guys to get up there and say all of that. So I know that God's going to bless you, and I just wanted to... it's basically a promise. You guys are going to be blessed. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional because I like to see that God get glorified. And I know that's exactly what is happening as a result of what you guys are doing. So I wanted to encourage you, and thank you.
Anyone else before we get ready to head down to the creek and finish this baptism? All right, well, I'm going to close this time with prayer. I just want to say, too, it's been one of the things of pastoring that is such a, I count as a privilege and a joy, is to meet with people like these 5, which I met with Janelle before I went to Nicaragua, and with Drew just yesterday. Was that yesterday, the day before?
Thursday.
And just hearing their story and hearing what God's doing in their lives, and how He's changing their lives, how He's drawing them to Himself. It's just a privilege to be there. And it's a privilege for you to be here today with them and celebrating this with them. So I invite all of you to come down to the riverbank, and as we witnessed the baptism of these five. And as a church, we have a responsibility moving forward, too, to help each one grow in their walk with the Lord and encourage one another in that. So let's pray together. Would you stand with me? Lord, what a privilege it is to serve you. What a privilege it is to see your almighty hand at work, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others, friends, family. And Lord, I thank you for each one that shared this morning. It took some guts to get up here and say, I am a believer, I am committed to you, and they did that. And Lord, I pray that this would be a day that they look back on with great fondness, and especially when they're feeling weak and full of doubts, that they would remember all that you've done. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and thank you for this opportunity to share this with them. And Lord, may we be an encouragement to them in their walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.